The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers. Taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Everybody, welcome to the show. It's me, Matt Slick, S-L-I-C-K, the one, well, actually not the one and only. But hey, look, if you want to give me a call, all you have to do is dial 877-207-2276. We have, we have five open lines wide open, so why don't you give me a call, and we can blab. We talk about all kinds of stuff here on the show. Lately, it's been a lot about COVID, and we talk theology, because I'm an ordained minister, and a Christian apologist who runs carm.org, C-A-R-M.org. It's had 147, I think it is, million visitors. So if you want to check out good theology and issues there, you can go check it out. Because carm.org, C-A-R-M.org. We do Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses, Christian Science, Unity, Baha'i, Islam. Did I say Roman Catholicism? I think I did. And Eastern Orthodoxy, we talk about Christian theology, atheism, evolution, all kinds of topics. And the reason is because all things are under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And so we, as Christians, are obligated to be able to give an answer to everyone who would ask, 1 Peter 3:15. And that's the goal, is to equip Christians. And CARM is that attempt to provide Christians with some of the information that they need in order to defend the Christian faith and give a reason for the hope that lies within them, per the scriptures, 1 Peter 3:15. We have four open lines. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. If you're interested in checking out the COVID stuff, just go to carm.org/COVID, COVID, and you'll find some information. I released some articles yesterday, a huge research project there. And now I'm going through anecdotal evidence of sicknesses and some other things. And I've got an opinion section also on the COVID area. And I'll be writing some more of what I think is happening with this COVID pandemic. And we'll talk about that. Let's get to Michael from Raleigh, North Carolina. Michael, welcome. You're on the air.
Come on, Matt. My question is, I know Jesus was the Savior. He's the Savior. And the angel gave Mary the name Jesus before he was conceived. But my question is, Jesus Christ, so is Jesus the man part and Christ is God?
No. Jesus is the name of the person that we call Jesus. Jesus has two distinct natures. He's both divine and human. This is Colossians chapter 2, verse 9, talks about that. And so in him dwells all the fullness of deity in bodily form. So the person of Jesus Christ came into existence 2,000 years ago. The divine nature, the second person of the Trinity, the Word, emptied himself, as what Philippians 2, 5 through 8 says, and became one of us, was united with the human nature, made under the law, Galatians 4, 4. So Jesus, as a person, one person with two distinct natures, came into existence 2,000 years ago. But the divine nature has always existed. It's the union that came into existence 2,000 years ago. We call him Jesus. There's another doctrine called the communication of the properties, which means that the attributes of both the natures, the divine and the human, are ascribed to the single person of Christ. So Jesus says, I am hungry, I am thirsty, that's human, and I will be with you always, even to the end of the earth, that's divine. So the one person claimed the attributes of both natures. So Jesus is simply the name, Jesus in Greek, Jesus, that's the name of this person. And that's it. Christ just means anointed one, Messiah. That's all that means. Jesus the Christ. Okay?
Got you. Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right. Got any other questions?
God bless you, man. No, right, man. That was perfect.
Okay, then. God bless. All right. That was Michael from Raleigh, North Carolina. If you want to give me a call, all you have to do is dial 877-207-2276. Let's get to Eric from Portland, Oregon. Eric, welcome. You are on the air.
Hey, Matt. Good to chat with you. Appreciate what you do.
Oh, thanks, Matt. Thanks. So what do you got?
I guess a couple questions for you. So I have run into a lot of what seems to be an increasing in popularity movement of like theonomic reconstruction, mm-hmm. post-millennialism. Mm-hmm. And so there's a couple churches out there that are attracting major followers right now, like Doug Wilson's church, for instance, out in Moscow, mm-hmm. Idaho, out there.
Yeah.
And I wanted to get your input on postmillennialism as far as how orthodox it truly is. I mean, I would certainly never state that a believer in Christ who is postmillennial is, you know, in heresy, of course not. But I think it does lend itself to certain issues. And I was just kind of curious what your thoughts are on the kind of neo-postmillennialism that's been emerging lately, specifically with like the theonomy, the theonomic reconstructionism.
Well, you know, the three major views are pre-mill, a-mill, post-mill. Now, post-millennialism, in my opinion, is simply positive amillennialism. It's, I hold to a negative or pessimistic amillennialism, which I call depressed eschatology, because I teach that things are only going to get worse. And I have my reasons for that. Where post-mill would say, through the gradual preaching of the gospel, that it will usher in, once the world's converted, will usher in the presence of Christ, the kingdom of Christ, whatever you want to call it. And so, along with that, as the gospel increases, theonomy will increase. And theos, law, God, namos, law, the law of God, where the world will be converted to, you know, as you use the word theonomic, teaching and practice. And so, to a point, what that means is that it'll be Old Testament and New Testament-based laws that will be passed in all of our countries, all the countries of the world, with the majority of them, and that the earth will become a Christianized governmental system. And I find no evidence for that in Scripture. That's just my opinion. I'm not saying that those who hold to post-mill are stupid. I'm not saying that at all. I think they're very intelligent. I just don't see it in my opinion. I don't see it in Scripture. And that's, you know, I need to do a piece on it, but you know, examine more of it.
Yeah, that's the thing, brother. I don't see it either, and I really do think that there are certain issues that can arise from it, because I think that it makes people ill-prepared for mm-hmm. you know, some of the things we expect to see scripturally speaking. And I also see an emphasis that seems to almost minimize the biblical gospel and kind of preach, you know, salvation starting out in grace, right, and then you're perfected through law keeping. And certain, like the federal vision, for example, federal vision seems to advocate for
right.
for two types of justification, things like that. So I almost kind of see it as something that's just sneaky, like sneakily mm-hmm. Heretical. Mm-hmm. But I don't want to, you know, overjudge and paint with a broad brush either, and kind of take people individually
right.
who might hold to a post-mill position.
Right. Yeah, it's, you know, it is coming up. It's on the increase, like you said, along with annihilationism. And, you know, these are just things that are increasing. I've looked at the scriptures, and I just don't see post-mill. I mean, Jesus says, you know, flee to the hills. If these days be not cut short, no flesh would be saved. I mean, these are the things that Jesus says. And my opinion is, in Genesis 2:17, when the Lord spoke to Adam and said, in the day that you eat of this, you will die. I know he's speaking directly to Adam, but I believe that he was addressing all of mankind. Now, the wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23. And from what I see from Scripture, it's just going to get worse and worse and worse. The arrival of the Antichrist, the increase in lawlessness, this is what is prophesied. I don't see this as culminating in a wonderful time. I just don't see it. And I think that pre-trib rapture is dangerous theologically, because I think it softens people and causes them to, or contributes to the idea of them not working hard to change our country and our culture now. And post-millennialism doesn't have that problem, but I just think it misses a lot of scriptures and the warnings that are associated with end times prophecy. So that's just my opinion.
Right. No, I appreciate your input a lot. I'm just kind of curious to see what your thoughts were there. And I appreciate it, brother. Thank you.
Hey, no problem, man. God bless, Eric. All right.
God bless. Thanks.
All right. That was Eric from Portland. We have four open lines if you want to give me a call. 877-207-2276. Four open lines. Give me a call. Let's get to Ann from Raleigh, North Carolina. Ann, welcome. You're on the air.
Hello?
Hello. You are on the air, Ann. Okay. Are you there?
Hello?
Yes, I hear you. Do you hear me? Hello? You know, I'm talking, so sometimes people have problems with their lines and stuff like that. Can you hear me, Ann? Maybe...
Hello?
Hello? Okay, I clicked the right buttons, so I guess she can't hear me. She'll have to call back. I guess
hello?
We don't have... Okay, one more time. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, all right. Go ahead.
Yeah, I have a question, because recently I listened to the radio. They talk about alien abduction, about UFO, and some people claim that they really experienced it. I never believe it, but sometimes it sounds real. So, as a believer, should we even listen to this kind of program, or we just tune it out? What do you think about, from biblical point of view, what do you think about this UFO thing?
Well, it just so happens I have done a lot of study in UFOs over several decades, and I've not written on it, but a lot of people don't know this, that the UFOs teach theology. And the theology, or the aliens, so to speak, teach theology. And the theology is that Jesus is not God. We are all divine. Reincarnation is true. And there are many accounts of people who have been abducted that when they cry out to Jesus, the abductions immediately stop. No Christians get...
Is it real? Let me
continue, okay? I'll tell you more stuff, okay? And so, no Christians get abducted. There's only one documented account of a woman being abducted, and when she had to give permission, and when she called out to Christ, it ended. Now, are there actual physical objects? It certainly looks like that. There are many, many accounts all over the world of physical objects being detected, touched by people, seen through telescopes, binoculars with a naked eye, detected on radar, heat signatures, and various things. So something is going on. Now the question is, what are they? Well, the odds of life forming by chance in the universe is basically functionally zero. So I absolutely reject the Drake equation. I think it's a complete misrepresentation of the mathematical reality of the impossibility of abiogenesis. So I don't believe that these things out there are real aliens. I suspect that what they are some sort of demonic manifestation. And so...
if you're listening to this kind of program,
Hold on. Hold on, we've got a break coming up, and you're a little hard to understand, so the connection's not that good. But hold on, okay? We'll be right back after the messages, all right? Hey, folks, please stay tuned to Open Lines, 877-207-2276. Be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Right, welcome back to the show. Let's get to Ann from Raleigh, North Carolina. Ann, welcome. You're back on the air.
Yeah, so my question is basically, should we believe there's no UFO?
No, they're real. They occur. They're actual real. Yes. Oh, yes.
So
they're real.
Listen.
The question is...
Listen.
Go ahead.
If you listen and hear people, the story talk about it on the radio or media, is it going to invite demonic power or force to your life to listen to UFO stuff?
Well, there are, actually, There are, I watch different UFO videos occasionally, and there is a gentleman who actually uses occult practices in order to contact UFOs. And I've listened to women, one woman in particular, I should say, who is in the New Age movement, and she contacts UFOs through meditative practices. And this is occultism. And so it looks like the UFOs are demonically manifested. And some people say that they're probably the Nephilim, which are half-breeds between fallen angels.
But they were destroyed, right? In the Bible, they were all died out.
No, they were destroyed in the flood, but not all of them. It looks like the breeding program continued afterwards, because other Nephilim were later on. And Jesus says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be the days of the coming of the Son of Man, for they were eating, they were drinking, they were giving in marriage till the day that Noah entered the ark, and the flood came and took them all away, or destroyed them all. Also in Daniel chapter 2, verse 43, it talks about Nebuchadnezzar's statue, and the feet of clay and iron mixed together is end times. That's pretty much about now, a lot of people say. We'll get into all that. But anyway, it says, they will combine with the seed of men. They will combine with one another in the seed of men. And in Daniel 2:43. So it looks like there's still a breeding thing going on. And it gets really bizarre in some of the theories, but this seems to be what's going on. UFOs have been seen throughout the centuries. Even Alexander the Great wrote about UFOs, flaming shields in the sky moving in unison and in formation. So what are they? That's the question. I'm sorry?
Falling angels? Are those falling angels?
Are they what?
Falling angels? Because they don't have a body?
Now, we don't know what they are exactly. So they're just theories, okay, that are offered by Christian theologians and people who deal with this. But it seems as though the best explanation so far that answers the most questions is that the Nephilim are still going on and working to build technologies, ultimately, for the deception of the world. This is one of the major theories that's out there right now about this.
Well, when people talk about Bigfoot, I just heard on the video, are these the Nephilim?
The what? Are they Nephilim?
The Bigfoot?
Bigfoot.
Are they
Nephilim? No, I don't think so. It looks like, because major cultures have those things. The Yeti, the Abominable Snowman, Bigfoot. They come by different names, different cultures. But there seems to be something up with them. I mean, if there's one or two sightings, whatever. But when there's hundreds and hundreds for centuries, something's going on. And so, what is it? I don't know. And I just haven't studied Bigfoot and all that stuff. The UFOs I have. I've studied a lot. Yeah.
So you believe this thing exists in the physical world, not somebody's imagination?
No, the UFOs are physical.
Physical. They're, and then...
Uh-huh.
Oh.
Yeah.
They're physical.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, now, I'm not saying all of them are. I'm not saying all of them are. Some could be demonic manifestations. If you want to do some interesting research, do research on the UFO incident that happened in the 80s in England. It's
do you
really
have an article on your website?
No articles on UFO stuff.
Okay.
No. There are a lot of stuff I haven't covered yet, but I would recommend that you do a web search, the UFO encounters on American Air Base in England. I think it was in the 80s when it happened. And it's extremely interesting. A lot of people saw something was going on. And there are things. There are lots of accounts of UFOs coming over weapons areas and turning weapons off and on and things like this. And these are, this happens all over the world. And it's kind of lately, you'll notice that the government is releasing more UFO footage and things like that from pilots and stuff who've seen stuff.
Well, are they real or?
The pilots?
Yeah.
Yeah, the pilots were.
Real? I don't want to read something that's not because you.
Look, I can't tell you anything other than that. What I do is I periodically I'll just go into a few months of just listening to podcasts on UFOs, reading information, following up on information and stuff, and that's what I do. I'm just interested in it because I like that kind of stuff. I like science fiction and stuff like that. But this seems to be what's going on, but we don't know for sure. We don't know what's going on. Okay?
Are you going to have an article about it?
I may or may not. It all depends. I am so backlogged with stuff right now. I am so backlogged. So all I can do is put it on the list of things to do. It is something that is necessary, but I think more important things right now are coming up in our government and control issues and things like that. So I'm kind of working on that.
Oh, thank you.
Okay?
Yeah, thank you so much. Yeah, thank
you. All right. Okay, well, God bless. Thanks a lot, Ann. All right. Hey, folks, if you want to give me a call, all you have to do is dial 877-207-2276. Look at the Kim from Rural Hall, North Carolina. Kim, we welcome you on the air.
Thank you, Matt. The question is about...
Mm-hmm. Wait. Bad connection. Kim, really bad connection. I can't understand you. Okay. To try again. Are you there? Kind of.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead. Let's see if we can get through this.
Okay. Do you think the Nephilim are still interbreeding with humans today?
I don't know. They did, according to the Bible, back then in Genesis chapter 6, and Jesus says, as it was the days of Noah, it'll be like this again in the days of the coming Son of Man. So 1 plus 1 equals 2. It would seem that there would be biblical support for that.
Okay. So I need to know. Thank you so much.
All right. You're welcome so much. Okay. Hey, folks, we have four open lines. Give me a call, 877-207-2276. Let's get to Ron from Durham, North Carolina. Ron, you're on the air.
Hey, Matt.
Hey.
Hey, I tried to call yesterday, but I got cut off.
Okay.
at the end of the day. But anyway, in regards to the using the Lord or God's name in vain,
mm-hmm.
when people say His name for no reason, like, oh my God, oh
don't
Jesus,
do that.
I wouldn't even
repeat that over the air. Lest you use the Lord's name in vain.
That's right, but isn't that considered using it in vain?
Well, hold on a sec. We got a break coming up, okay? So we'll be right back because we got a break. Hey, folks, we have four open lines. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back after these messages.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey, everybody, we have four open lines. Give me a call, 877-207-2276. Let's get to Ron from Durham, North Carolina. Ron, welcome. You're back on the air.
Okay, thanks for having me, Matt.
Sure.
Yes, I hear people say this all the time, like, OMG... Or they're just basically saying the Lord's name for no reason.
Right.
That would be considered as using His name in vain, correct?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I thought I had like a friendly argument about that with some friends of mine, and they didn't understand it. But I told them apparently they don't read their Bibles. Well, then again, I don't know what they're saying.
Well, you know, there are different ways to witness to people and stuff. You know, I see someone with a cross, like I did a couple of nights ago, on Sunday night, actually. I asked him about it. Said, was at a restaurant. And, hey, man, you know, you're a Christian? And she got the cross on. And he goes, no, it's just something I wear. And I said, well, you know, that's where God in flesh died for our sins, on the cross. And he wasn't ready for that. But, you know, that's a gospel presentation, the beginning of it. And
right.
In a friendly conversation, someone will be using the Lord's name in vain, and if they do it enough, depending on the situation, I'll say, do you know, who you're calling on? With Christians, when they use the Lord's name in vain, I just flat out tell them, you're using the Lord's name in vain. I've
That's right.
I tell many
That's
Christians
right.
over the years, you're doing that. And because the Christians, they follow the world. We live in the world. We're not supposed to be of the world. We're not to participate in the deeds
right.
of darkness. And Exodus 20 talks about not using the name of the Lord your God in vain. So the way to understand that, instead of saying what it is not, or how we should not use it, we should really establish how we should use his name. And it should mm-hmm. be used in reverence and godly fear and admiration and worshipful praise and things like that.
That's
if it's
right.
not done in that manner, then it's a vain use of his name. And this is what Christians do all the time when they exclaim something happened, they don't like it, oh my, and then they'll use the Lord's name in vain. People will do this all the time. It happens on TV a lot.
Which is misleading, yes.
Yeah, I personally believe it's a demonic manifestation that's just creeping over America to use his name
it
in
is, yes.
in a flippant way as a cuss word. It's why not you know, say something else?
Oh, that hurts too. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Why it hurts?
And right. when people say that, I cringe, man. I tell you. Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you've answered it, man. You said it.
Well, you know, praise God, man. I hope that convicts a lot of
yes.
Christians and they'll stop using the Lord's name and thing.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'll continue to fight for it, man.
Good for you, buddy.
But thank
Good
you so
you.
Yes, thank you so much, Matt. Yes.
You're welcome. All right, buddy. God bless, man.
God right. bless you.
Okay. All right. We have three open lines. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. Let's get to Bart from South Florida. Hey, Bart. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt. Bart again. How you doing?
Doing all right. Hanging in there.
Yeah. I got a question. I've been approached by a lot of younger guys at my job. They've asked about the subject of pornography, and I've told them, look, it's poison. Stay away, because in a lot of ways it's a gateway to the things that it could get out of hand and get even worse.
Right.
So if you want to cut it off there, it's just. Mm-hmm. But then they asked another question, and you know, I said, look, can you wait on this one, because I need to get a good answer for this one.
Okay.
It's hard for me to find a reference, but it has to do with, and I'm a very modest person, so I don't want to say anything on the air that's
okay.
inappropriate. But
speak around it then, and we'll work. It might be totally listening too. Okay.
when you self-pleasure,
uh-huh.
you're
yep.
okay.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say about that when they say that? And then you use the M word, Mark. You'll say,
right.
Mark, what about M?
Uh-huh.
You know, and I'll be like, I don't, you know what? I need to get a biblical reference for this. I don't know. You know.
So, believe it or not, on CARM, I've written a lot of articles on human sexuality, and
okay.
probably 50 articles, I'm guessing. And that topic is discussed. And so, it's difficult to answer the question, because the Bible really doesn't talk about it.
Right.
And so, what do we do? The idea here is that, those, you know, sexuality was something that was experienced pretty early, because people were married pretty early. And so, in the Jewish culture, the marriage bed was available pretty early on. We don't have that now as much. People wait, and then there are temptations, as women will dress in a scantily clad form. Some Christian women do that too, trying to show off what they've got. They shouldn't do that. And we, of course, have the issues of the availability of porn on the web, and how women dress on TV. It's difficult. A lot of women don't understand how difficult it is for men in that respect. So I've written on it, and I would just suggest you go to the CARM org, CARM.org/sexuality, and read on that. and do some reading on that, because this is such a difficult topic to work through biblically. That
it is.
I've written on it, and you know, the Bible says flee immorality, and that's porneia in the Greek, and that such immoral people won't be, you know, inherit the kingdom of God. Well, you know, there's, and I'm going to just ask questions without answering them. What do you do in different situations? A man and a woman married, and one of them is incapacitated for a few months. What do you do in certain conditions of incapacitation or unavailability or certain things? There are variables, and it becomes very difficult. And I mean, I could, in a private discussion, I would be able to really open up the door and discuss particulars. But I'm not going to do it over the radio for obvious reasons. So
right.
It's a difficult thing. It's a difficult thing to answer. I don't like the idea of just saying, oh, it's always sin, because I don't know all situations. And since the Bible doesn't say it is, then I can't say it is. Now, I know a lot of Christians are going to say, well, Matt, how could you dare say that? Well, I just say, show me Scripture. I submit to the Word of God. I have to find it in Scripture. And,
exactly, and that's the problem. That's why I was calling, because I felt the same way. I needed a scriptural reference to confirm this, but it's difficult.
Yep.
And especially when they say to me, well, I don't want to commit, I don't want to fornicate, I don't want to commit adultery, so here's my solution before I get married. And I said, well, I don't know what to tell you. You know, I'm glad you're trying to not get yourself in committing the act itself, but I don't know if that, what you're doing is the same thing or not. You know?
Right, so. It's a difficult topic, and I'm not advocating stuff, but because I get more technical than a lot of people do on issues, there are, I can't even talk about them, but there are situations worth discussing. And there are certain situations where I'd say it's absolutely wrong. And then we move towards the gray area, and where does that basic line in the gray area exist? And so, I mean, I'd be willing to do a Patreon-based discussion on this, where we get into the particulars and have discussions. But I'm going to tell you, having absolute answers on this is not easy. Even though I know that there are a lot of articles written by people who have absolute opinions about things. I remember, let me say this really quickly before the break, I remember in seminary, a friend of mine in seminary said that it was absolutely wrong, as an example of something, to use any form of contraception. I couldn't find that in Scripture, but I said, well, why? He said, because it's up to God to open or close the womb. And I said, okay, what do you do with a situation where, and this was a real situation I had to deal with, where my wife's next pregnancy could kill her because of a condition she has. Then what do we
right.
do? And he had said, I never thought about that. I said, if I'm going to protect my wife and the next pregnancy could kill her, am I not supposed to be responsible? And so then,
right.
you know, I got a vasectomy. And so he said, I'd never thought about that. And that's why I say, even in this topic, that there are particulars that need to be addressed. I can think of things that are really quite conversation starters about this.
Right.
A lot of you have not thought of. So there you go. All right, we got a break. You done?
Thanks. Yeah, I'm done. I'll go to karm.org. Thank you.
Okay, buddy. All right. Don't know if I helped on that one. It's a tough one. May the Lord bless you. Hey, we'll be right back after these messages. Please stay tuned.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Let's get to Kent from Des Moines, Iowa. Kent, welcome. You're on the air.
Thank you, Matt. I have a question.
Sure.
Finding out a lot of the stuff we're hearing has been fed to us by people who want us to know a certain narrative. I was wondering, I know the Bible is probably the most documented historically accurate thing ever made as far as historical documents go. But I've heard there's a lot of new books that could potentially be coming out. how will we know which ones are right and which ones are not right? I mean,
new books on what?
I've heard there's a lot of new, theoretically, books of the Bible that will be coming out that have been withheld from us by people that.
You mean, so to speak, lost books of the Bible kind of thing?
Yeah. Yeah, I've heard there could be a 700.
No, that's a load of crud. It's stupidity.
Okay.
In the Old Testament, the Jews knew what scriptures were inspired. They're the ones who established the Old Testament canon. They knew about the works of the Apocrypha, the pseudepigraphal documents, and they rejected them. They were not scripture.
Okay.
They rejected them. The early church recognized what was authentic in the New Testament, I mean, coming from directly from the apostles or the amanuensis of the apostles. And that's it.
Okay. So, like, books of Enoch are maybe Jesus referenced the book of Enoch. But
Jude
is he referencing
does.
That as a historical document then?
There are... There's lots of books in the Bible. Book of Wars, Book of Jasher, Chronicles of David, Kings of Israel and Judah, Book of Kings of Israel, the Words of King of Israel, Decree of David, the Chronicles of Samuel the Seer, Chronicles of Nathan the Prophet, the Book of Gad, the Prophet Edo, the Words of Shemaiah the Prophet, the Deeds of Uzziah by Isaiah the Prophet, the Book of Jehu, the Record Book of Ahasuerus, the Book of Remembrance, and the Book of Life, the Book of Judgment, Seven Sealed Book, and the Angel's Book. 20 books that the Bible recommends or uses or refers to, but they are not considered Scripture.
Okay. Just historical, but not Scripture.
Yeah, they're historical, they have value, but they were not considered inspired writings. That's all.
Should we dismiss them? Should we pay attention to them?
We don't dismiss them.
Hold on.
Let me finish. We dismiss them as being inspired, but we don't dismiss them as being historical and having some sort of value. Okay?
Okay. Perfect.
Okay. All right.
Well, I love your show, Matt. You're an awesome guy. Appreciate it.
Well, thanks, buddy. Appreciate that, man. All right. Well, God bless. All right. Let's get to Matt from Charlotte, North Carolina. Matt, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt. Quick question, just involving what you and not the most recent caller were talking about, the one before him. Mm-hmm. When it comes to that sexual sin in particular, would the passage with the scripture from Matthew, I think it's like 4:28, would that work for that, saying in regards to lust, when Jesus says that even if you lust at a woman, you've committed adultery,
right,
or looked at a woman lustfully?
Right. And the idea here in marriage is to have a purity of heart and mind, because God is a standard of perfection. Marriage is ultimately a reflection of the Trinity. Not that there's a physical union, but that the intimacy of persons as one flesh is reflected as multiple persons, three persons as one God. And so the Trinity is the ultimate basis of the marriage covenant and the marriage practice, and in the freedom and intercommunications. So that's where that is. Now, when it says looking at a woman to lust in your heart, notice that it's addressed to men, not women, because men are the ones who by far have this problem. We're just designed that way, because a lot of people don't know, but the male processing area of the brain is twice that of a female. It's just the way it is. And so what we have to do is make sure, for example, if I see a beautiful woman, I'll notice, she's a beautiful woman, and that's as far as it goes in my mind and my heart. That's it. Because nothing else, there's no, so what? That's nice. I have prayed over the years regularly, let my eyes be for my wife, and things like that, because that's where it needs to be. So if I were hypothetically to entertain thoughts about some other woman than my wife, in the areas I should not be, then that would be adulterous in my mind and my heart.
Needs to
never occur. So this is the idea that is there with that, is the purity of heart and mind. We should have our eyes for our spouse only, which means no pornography, no other things.
Right. That's where I was getting to. Okay. Thank you, man. God bless you, man. I appreciate it.
All right, buddy. God bless, man. Okay. Let's get to... Oh, let's see. Michael from Ogden, Utah. Michael, welcome. You're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call, Matt.
Sure.
I wondered if you'd heard of Dr. Judy Mikovits, who wrote the book Plague of Corruption. Hmm. She was featured on 8:20 a.m. last night with Chuck Chrismeyer's program.
Yeah, I don't know who she is. I don't know.
Plague
of Corruption. What's it about?
Yeah, it's about the vaccine.
Really?
She supposedly had her whole lab destroyed and research taken away. She was blackballed for time and by Fauci and these guys. It goes back. They're just covering up the research that the vaccine is not. It has, like you mentioned before, it's got it could have stuff in it, like from animals, from human embryos, and all this stuff.
Yeah, there's some.
It's causing all these side effects. And she published her book. This was published like in April of 2020.
Okay.
But.
Anyway, yeah, I just downloaded it, so I just got it while you were talking. So I do everything on electronic format now in books. So there's books, The Truth About COVID-19.
Medical Tyranny is what you're talking.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's. I have a book, the COVID-19, The Truth About COVID-19, Do As I Say, Not As I Do. And I just went through, or just downloaded Plague of Corruption. Just that fast, I can do that, which I love technology. I've also got Unreported Truths on COVID-19 lockdowns, dealing with various areas, the vaccines, the masks, and stuff like that. And so there is just so much that I'm having to deal with. The anatomy of an epidemic is another one. And there, people are sending me videos, they're sending me stuff. I'm just buried. There's so much. But the more I'm seeing, in my opinion, the more I'm seeing just corruption and the movement for control over people. And I've got a spiritual theory about this, which I'll be writing about. In fact, I actually started writing about it today a little bit. But I got to teach a Bible study tomorrow night, so I'm going to put that on hold and work on that. So,
I want to put on your radar, Matt.
Oh, no, thanks.
I was really moved by the program. Chuck Chrismeyer is pretty reputable, in my opinion, for Christian radio. So, thank you for the program.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Hey, folks, by the way, if you have, and I'm asking for this because I'm writing a section on COVID, I've written, I don't know how many articles right now, got quite a few. And, I'm not a doctor, so I have to do more meticulous research and find information from reputable sources. You can go to karm.org/COVID and you'll see what I've got so far. But if you have stories that, you took the vaccine and you got sick right away or had a heart attack, or like Eric Clapton, he took the vaccine and then he lost the use of his hands for a little while. He couldn't play guitar, Eric Clapton. And I've got that documentation. So there are people like that, which I can go to and link to actual articles. There are going to be a lot of people who just, Aunt Barb, etc. I'm interested in stories like that. And you can say on the, if you email me at info@karm.org, info@karm.org. You can say, yeah, this is what happened to me. I'd rather have people say it happened to me, not hearsay. I want actual testimonies that you experienced if you went through this or anything like it. And I won't put your name on the web if you don't want me to. I just put initials and keep it in a file. And I'm not going to expose anybody. I'm not going to make anything difficult for anybody at all. So that's the idea, is that I'm looking for documentation, information on stuff like that. So if you have any stories about that or anything else, just email me, info@karm.org. Let's get to Kim from St. George, Utah. Hey, I've been through there. What's up, buddy? What do you got?
Hey, how you doing? I want to know, let you know how much we do appreciate you.
Good.
You know, people like you get double dosed from the devil himself, so it's not as easy as a lot of people can see, you know.
Well, I could tell stories.
I had a question about church. Yeah. I have a question about church, Matt. I haven't been attending. I was a well Lutheran for many years, Catholic when I was real young, but I just got spoiled on the internet from great pastors, verse by verse, word by word, breaking down the Greek. It's like the church isn't feeding me enough, and there's so much convention anymore. I know I try to stay in his word daily. I know there's communion. I know there's also giving, which can be done in many ways. But I still feel guilty because my whole life I've always been in a church. But yet I can't get fed in a church like I can with the internet these days.
Right. Yes, that's a growing problem. It's a growing problem. And so I'm not sure what to tell you. I've had people actually suggest that I start preaching online just because they're so tired of bad preaching. Not that I'm a great preacher, but you know, they know I'm not going to give them crud. So it's just difficult to discern what to do and what to say to people in, you know, various areas. But the advantage of going to church is the body of believers and the issue of communion, and it's an important thing. I believe that communion is permissible over the internet in a service where an individual would get his own bread and grape juice or bread and wine and participate in a community where that was done. I wouldn't say that that should be normative, but I think it's possible because there are situations where people in varying areas of the world, if they meet in public, they're going to be persecuted severely. And so they hide, and these kind of things I think would be acceptable. Can we carry that over to this situation? What if you live in a place you're 100 miles from a decent church? And I know of people like that. Then what do you do? You know, you go and have women pastors at the nearest church. I've talked to people who said that. So they don't go to church. So they want to have fellowship. They do it online. Well, then what about the sacraments? I think it's permissible at that time to do it in a way that's reverential online simultaneously. And we're out of time. Can you call back tomorrow about this? Because I think it's important. Okay, buddy?
You bet, Jeff.
All right, man.
Thanks so much, Matt.
Bye-bye. All right. Sure. Hey, folks, we're out of time. Sorry about that. May the Lord bless you. I hope that you want to continue listening tomorrow. We'll get more some good topics. May the Lord bless you. Have a great evening, folks. God bless. Bye.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.